Hello to everyone listening in, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Entrepreneur on the Grow podcast. If you don't know me already, my name is Jared, and I'm the head of education here at Startup School. Joining me right now is Ryan Amaroy, and he is a Startup School alumni, so we're super, super excited to have you here. But more importantly, he's the founder of a very cool startup called Africa Made Only. Ryan, thanks so much for being here to share your story with us.
Thanks so much, Jared. It's good to be here. Really excited.
Cool. Africa Made Only had a stand at Karma's, Makers, and Stellenbosch recently, but for the most part, your business is online. So tell us more about this brand, this business.
So Jared, Africa Made Only sort of started as a clothing brand, and that's why we are always trying to be represented at events like Karma's. But effectively, the vision for Africa Made Only is to be a online ecosystem that assists other African-made only brands to sell their products online. So what we've done is we've created a platform, obviously called AfricaMadeOnly.com, that has a vision to house as many African brands on the website in order to facilitate and enable them to sell their products online.
That's fantastic. And it's an interesting space to be in right now, because there's a huge flurry of activity around, you know, locally made and locally sourced. So I know there's a lot of intricacies there that you have to manage and deal with. But what I'm really interested to find out more about in your story is that you don't come from a retail background. You come from an advertising background. And a very successful one at that. I believe 14 years,
yeah,
you worked on huge accounts, Toyota, Allen Gray. It was an international agency, I believe.
Yeah.
But something happened when you reached the higher rungs of your career ladder and you started this as a side hustle.
Yes.
What was it that ignited this journey of entrepreneurship? What made it come to life, and what happened next?
So obviously, I have an appreciation for South African brands. I cut my teeth on Toyota, and although people might think that it's a Japanese brand, wholeheartedly, it started as a South African brand, if everyone knows the original story.
Amazing,
of Toyota.
Yeah.
I also worked on Wimpy, as you mentioned, which is also a very sort of South African brand, as well as Hollard as well. But where I found my passion was when I met a young tailor, and I always used to sort of curate and make my own sort of designs and come up with different things, because I always wanted to look kind of different from your standard suit, if you will, in the advertising environment.
Absolutely.
And I met a young man named Tsepo, and we struck up a friendship at first, a very good designer come sort of tailor here in Cape Town, and we started creating sort of casual wear out of African prints that were more accessible, if you will, you know, less sort of formal traditional wear and more sort of accessible, easy to wear type things. And I started wearing them myself. Obviously, it picked up interest from different passers-by or friends, started asking, you know, where did you get this? I've never seen anything like this. You know, who's making this for you? And obviously I explained how I'm working with Tsepo, and, you know, we're making these things on the side, and, you know, would you like one? It became that thing. And then those orders started transitioning into real sort of orders, you know? So real demand started being created, because we saw that people were actually liking what we were collaborating on and what we were coming up with. So I said to Seppo, you know what, let me create the demand. I've obviously come from a sort of a traditional advertising background. So from a brand building perspective, I kind of had that in my gears in order to step up and try and create this demand on a wholehearted level. So I set out to try and understand how e-commerce worked. And luckily I'd been to school with a gentleman named Warwick Kearns, who runs an academy called Insaka E-commerce Academy.
Yes.
And he had just recently set up, he'd left quite a successful platform that he'd started called Action Gear. He established one of the first e-commerce platforms in South Africa. And he'd left that and sold that in order to pursue this dream of teaching people how to sell and trade online. So while I was still working in advertising, I was doing this course on how to build my own online store. And so we built it in a six-week process. I built it mostly on my own with Warwick's help. We started trading online, and we started taking photographs, very sort of rough photographs of our product, and placing it online and seeing how it fared. Obviously, with the advertising background, I was able to get resource and get assistance from friends, and you know that's what you need when you're starting a business. How many people can I phone?
Yes,
that are going to be able to assist me with the things that you need to start up. You know. So we made those calls and we started trading online. Started trading online immediately, started creating demand, started running all our stuff through Tsepo and facilitating his growth and his business. To answer a short question long, it sort of branched out from there and started formalizing itself, and we thought this was serious. And eventually, this became the thing that I would wake up in the morning and think about all the time. And I think when that happens, your existing, you know, day hustle becomes more of your side hustle than
the other change.
The roles sort of reverse, and you start thinking to yourself, you know what, if I don't pursue this, am I going to wake up every morning and regret that I didn't actually pursue this to the fullest?
Yeah.
And I also loved how I was seeing Tsepo's business grow from a small little room and just him to four people in a matter of months.
Incredible.
It gave me goosebumps. It gives me goosebumps now to think about how that transition happened so quickly. And it was just from an idea of how can we make sure that everything that can be made in this country is made in this country. And I think that if you stick to that premise, or we stick to that promise, then you know the existence of Africa Made can only grow.
You know what I loved, what you said about just going right back to the beginning, that you did a course to teach yourself or to learn how to build this online platform, you know. And so it's so important for entrepreneurs to immerse themselves in learning. It's just another example of, you didn't know this thing, you had to know it, you made it happen. And then from there, you started building on your knowledge and immersing yourself in all that this is about. So it sounds like this is quite a bold decision for you.
Yeah.
And it is scary changing from your you know, a career or a day job to embrace your side hustle. I think you said Africa Made Only is now around 14 months old.
Yeah, almost 15. Yeah, 15 Wonderful. Months. So it's been a roller coaster of note.
Well, that's my question. Have you enjoyed? What have you enjoyed the most about it? Because I want to hear that side. Then we can go into the what has been really, really tricky and tough.
I think it's blanket answer, everything.
Okay.
Everything. You wake up in the morning, and like I said, you're thinking about one thing, and you're thinking about your business, you know, to the point where my wife goes, oh, please can we not talk about Africa Made Only this morning? And I'm like, but I'm so excited about the things that need to be done. The most exciting thing for me is through all of our channels, through everything that we've set up, is seeing the visible difference in people that we work with, people that we partner with's lives.
Yes.
And that makes all the difference. It makes it all worthwhile. Because, you know, in a startup, you can't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm not feeling so well today. I'm not feeling so hot today, you know, which actually pushes you to be better. It pushes you to look after yourself a little bit more. It pushes you to have balance and you know, all of those kind of things.
That intrinsic motivation.
Yeah, that intrinsic motivation that forces you to wake up in the morning and go, I want to be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have Sunday blues.
That's fantastic.
What
we used to call carte blanche evening.
Yes, carte blanche evening. In fact, my wife and I don't even watch carte blanche. No. You know, we might watch the last 15 minutes because I think they've managed to put in a feel good segment right at the end, you know. So the exciting part is actually seeing how what we do actually improves people's lives. And I think that's what forced us to say, you know, we can actually be bigger than just our own in-house brand, which is what we've created in the last sort of 12, 14 months.
Yeah.
We can be bigger than that. And we can take people and really good people who produce great products in South Africa, and we can basically mimic what we've done for ourselves with them and their brand.
Yeah.
And that's really our vision. That's really where we want to be. We want to enable other African-made only brands to be trading online immediately and selling their products in exchange for services and links to media and copywriting and all of the things that you might need, photography, you name it.
A lot of that stuff is unknown when
yes.
people do go into the online online space. There's sort of possibly a misconception out there that moving a store online is easy,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of moving parts.
Yes, there's a lot of admin that goes into getting your products trading online. You know, you've got to write compelling copy. You've got to take fantastic photographs because people want to see it. You need modeling shots. You need, you know, you need to buy a domain. You know, and I think that all that people want to do who are creators, I think that what they would prefer to do is just continue to do what they're good at, right? Which is create fantastic product and leave the selling up to somebody else to do. But unfortunately, if you need growth, that's not always possible.
Yeah.
But what if we could teach you how to manage that effectively like we have
and make it as easy as possible.
Make it as easy as possible to trade online, because it is notoriously difficult at the moment. And I know with the influx of technology and introduction of new APIs and all of that kind of stuff, it will improve.
Yes, yes.
And things will get easier. But in the meantime, people need a place to sell their products.
Yeah.
You come to South Africa, you purchase a fantastic product from a flea market in the middle of nowhere, and you go back to Germany and you never buy it again.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if you could buy it in one place?
Yeah. It sounds brilliant. And there is so much potential here, because we're still actually lagging quite substantially from the rest of the world or other parts of the world in terms of our online buying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's growing daily,
yes.
you know, which is super exciting. So we've talked about the exciting bits. Now, I think it's important for our listeners to also hear about the challenges. So what would you say has been sort of the tough parts, the challenges to this journey and the decision to move into a space where you had to learn from the ground up and grow and take the risk? So what are your big challenges?
I think that you will face mornings where you feel a little bit inadequate. I think from an emotional point of view, you know, not many entrepreneurs talk about the emotional intelligence that's required to try and build a brand or build something from the ground up. You will have that sense of inadequacy, and the only way that you kind of fill that is through education. Like self-education, finding programs that are able to assist you, that are able to give you that sort of step up. And I guess that's what we loved about the startup school, is that it came along when we were in a phase of sort of stagnation, kind of, if you will. And we had we didn't know quite where we needed to go next.
You almost had, there was almost like a quite a lot of noise on the table.
Yeah.
There was a lot of options and you needed to somehow...
Because you face all of those standard challenges that everybody's going to talk about, and they're like cash flow and, you know, and demand and resource, and how do you scale, and how do you fill positions that you effectively, as a startup, were doing yourself, you know, because you have to wear all of those hats in the beginning. You have to wear every single hat in your business, and that's a tremendous challenge.
Yeah.
You know, from production through to web development, through to running your own store, through to who do I get to take photography, you know, in our instances, to use those examples, is the biggest challenge is trying to be everyone in the beginning, and then trying to let go of that. And at the end of the day, it's like if you have a child, you know, it's your baby. You don't want to let go.
Yeah.
And the letting go is a big challenge.
Yeah.
And I think once you've made a decision to let go and you've structured that and you've looked at yourself holistically, like I think I mentioned to you off air, it's like sit down at a certain point in your challenge and write down all of the things that you, at this point in the business, should be handing over to somebody else so that you can focus on the bigger things.
Oh, that's great advice.
And it's about not progressing from working in your business, because you will be your business. You will be your business in the beginning, to working on your business. And I think that is something that you need to work through.
Yeah.
And you need to make active decisions, and you actually need to dock everything that you do well into a document that you can hand over to someone smarter than you to take to the next level.
Brilliant.
I think that's...
That's amazing advice, and I love it.
That's what, you know, we still focus on every single day. You know, and it's about finding the right people to partner with. I've taken on a business partner now who's got creative acumen, spent many years as a designer, sort of retoucher, so we have that facility in-house, you know, and that was very important.
Yes.
You know, hiring interns who are willing to work, who have full degrees in full stack coding, but are willing to work at a market or at Karma's, for instance. You know, that kind of thing. Those are the kind of people that you need to surround yourself with, is surrounding yourself with positive people and finding people who will be willing to let go of all that ego, regardless of their degrees or their background, and actually pursue something that's a dream.
Brilliant. Fantastic. So despite these challenges, and I mean, amazingly, I just love the way you speak through the logic of working on the business and thinking about the future and the people that are in the business. But you've made some serious headway this year, and I think it's because of all that thinking. You launched an e-commerce trading platform, expanded your team, which we've just been speaking about, and you now have multiple suppliers for the site, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And I know if we ask you, you'll say that you didn't do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a huge misconception by many entrepreneurs that they feel isolated, that they're totally out on an island. Is it the same for you, or do you think differently?
I think you can feel alone. I think as mentioned previously, it can be a very sort of lonely journey.
Yeah.
But if you sort of, how do you say it, like open up your optimism.
Yes.
Open up your optimism box, you know, for lack of a better thing. And the opportunities are out there. They are everywhere. And you've just got to say yes.
Yes.
And I think in the beginning of every journey, you've got to say yes to everything. Even if you feel uncomfortable about it. You know, I was a little bit uncomfortable about doing a podcast. I've never done a podcast before. But you say yes. You say yes to that. We're speaking at an e-commerce Africa event in April. I'm speaking, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet. I guess I'm going to talk about my journey and the challenges I faced, you know, much what we're talking about now. But when they asked me, I was inherently in my nature, I was like, I was a bit scared of that.
Yeah.
But you've got to say yes. When an opportunity comes along, like Investec Startup School, or sponsored by Investec, you say yes, even though you know it's going to be a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know that you're going to, you know, on top of everything that you have to do as sort of the founder or CEO or whichever role you're fulfilling in your business, you have to say yes to that, because the opportunities that are going to come from those are going to make you feel less alone, and there's going to be advantages and opportunities and people to speak to. And I guess it's like anything, it's like any problem that you face in your life. When you talk about it to somebody else,
you can work through it.
You can work through it.
Yeah. You know, listening to you is really inspirational, because, and this week, as well as last week, you know, Richard Branson's been doing a tour of the country, and I just, when I hear your way of speaking optimistically, it's a very similar tone to Richard, where he said, you know, that screw it, let's do it, you know.
Yeah.
Saying yes, you know.
Thank you for that.
And it takes bravery, and it takes clear thinking and ability to work through the challenges, which is clearly something that you are able to do. Now, I know that you feel very strongly about entrepreneurship generally, but more specifically in South Africa, and I love the voice with which you speak about our country.
Mm-hmm.
You've said before that we need to be making it easier to become an entrepreneur, because entrepreneurship has the ability to empower millions of people. Now, we share that same vision. But what would you say to inspire others who have an idea, or just like a spark, maybe even a side hustle like you had, but haven't actually taken that plunge, what would you like to say to those people?
Sure, it's a difficult question to answer. But if you have an idea, and I think I alluded to it in the beginning when we were speaking, it'll bother you so much that you haven't pursued it.
Mm.
And what I would do is I would run it by your closest friends and family, and because you're going to need the support of those people. You're definitely going to need the support of those people. I mean, I couldn't have launched this business without my wife, without my family members. It wouldn't have happened, you know. And I think, how do I say this? It's going to be a thing that's going to consume you.
Mm. Don't live with regret.
Don't live with regret. I think it is, and the joy that you're going to create by setting out on the journey is what's going to drive you forward. You have to look at whether it's got purpose, and I think if it's got purpose for you, that's a good start. I think if it's got purpose for others, even better.
Mm.
I mean, we always talk about, you know, having a win-win situation or a win-win-win situation, you know. So what's the win for the entrepreneurs that we're going to enable? What's the win for us as a business? And what's the win for the South African economy?
Right.
And if your business answers all three of those, or your idea answers to all three of those questions, then I guess that you're building something that's worthwhile building. And even if someone tells you that it will never work, it will, because you have that passion and that drive, and you've answered those three questions because there's an inherent need for it. You know, you've tapped into an insight that nobody else has thought of, and you're building something that's going to benefit not just you. So I think if you have an idea and it answers all three of those questions, then pursue it.
Mm.
And if it fails, then it fails. It's just part of your journey.
Yeah,
it really is. I know a lot of people say that. I know it's been said on a million podcasts before. But if you don't pursue it, you will wake up every morning and regret it.
Yeah.
So go for it. I think that's
great advice.
Yeah.
So Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today. Your commitment to strengthening our entrepreneurial ecosystem in Africa, it's tangible and it's amazing. So I really, really appreciate that energy.
Thank you.
We're grateful for it. Startup School is incredibly proud of who you are and what it is you're doing and what you're going to do. We wish you all the success for 2020. I know it's going to be a big year. It's a big year for everybody. I'm very excited about the potential that South Africa has going into this new year, into the new decade, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, can you believe it? And to everyone listening, thanks for joining. We'll pop the links to Africa Made Only in the description below. And so if anybody wants to visit your site, and I encourage them to do so. And then I think if there's one more thing you want to say to any of the guys who may potentially want to partner with you out there, what would you like to say?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I just want to say thank you to the Startup School. I mean, the process that we've been on, I can highly recommend. It gives you structure. It helps you define your objectives as a business. You can build your entire sort of pitch pack for funding from it. I think that it's a great place to start if you've just got a vision and an idea, because if you have that, this will give you the structures that you need.
Brilliant.
To put in place in order to succeed.
Thank you.
So I'm really grateful for having been on this program. I kind of asked for it to come along at a better time. So yes, there's that. And if anyone wants to reach out to us, they can reach out to me at ryan@africamadeonly.com or info@africamadeonly.com. Lastly, partnerships@africamadeonly.com. Our marketplace is in beta at the moment. So we're queuing brands at the moment to list on the platform. If anyone wants to partner with us on any level, they're more than welcome to get in touch with me directly on those email addresses. And we will obviously say yes. Like
Brilliant.
I said, we'll say yes to everything.
Thank you so much. And until next time, goodbye.
Thank you.